Upon conclusion of the recent two-day NATO summit meeting in Lisbon, Portugal, President Obama and European leaders announced their agreement on a timetable that would have the U.S. and NATO countries transfer responsibility for security to Afghanistan's fledgling security forces by the end of 2014. There are now about 100,000 U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, with an additional 40,000 from other NATO and non-NATO member states. Mr. Obama reiterated at the summit his commitment to begin an initial withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan in July 2011, with the actual numbers depending on ground conditions. The president expressed general optimism about the war effort in advance of next month's White House review of his decision last December to deploy an additional 30,000 U.S. troops into the Afghan conflict. Both American military and government officials have acknowledged that the Afghan war will only end with a political settlement and have facilitated initial negotiations between the government of Afghan President Hamid Karzai and the Taliban. But there has been general embarrassment at news reports that one man involved in the negotiations in recent months, presumed to be a top Taliban commander, was in fact an imposter. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with Nir Rosen, an author and journalist who spent a great deal of time in both Iraq and Afghanistan, about why he believes the U.S. war in Afghanistan is failing, requiring an entirely different approach.
I don't think anybody who has actually spent time on the ground in Afghanistan, apart from the military, would agree that there are any signs of progress. You may have individual villages here and there or towns that the Americans can hold temporarily. They can introduce a massive amount of American force, and then the Taliban will lie low or go somewhere else for a little while. But throughout the country, Taliban control more and more territory. Violence is getting worse. Resentment of the American and allied presence is increasing. And the Taliban are making inroads even in non-Pashtun communities. And this 2014 deadline is kind of based on a whole lot of ifs, all kinds of aspirations and hopes, and there's really no basis for them. The notion that the Afghan security forces will somehow improve and take over security, right now there's zero evidence for that. On paper, they may have 200,000 or so who graduated training, but in reality, on the ground, it's only a fraction of that. And we see that in Kandahar today, this massive new offensive that the Americans are involved in, they're not even relying on the Afghan army. We've spent billions of dollars on the Afghan army. And instead, in Kandahar, the Americans are relying on a virtual warlord who a few years ago was using Kandahar and actually turned hundreds of people, provoked them into joining the Taliban because he was so brutal. And these days we're repeating that using the same warlord in Kandahar. We're destroying villages and orchards and farms, massively conducting operations that remind people of the Russians in the early 80s. And it's all for what? Nobody's really explained why the Americans are still in Afghanistan. Obama, in his West Point speech, explained that we were there to destroy Al-Qaeda. If that's the goal, that was achieved in 2002. Why on earth are we still in Afghanistan when Al-Qaeda is not in Afghanistan? Al-Qaeda is in Pakistan and Yemen, in internet cafes around the world, in slums. It's sort of an idea, an inspiration, a motivation, but it's not in Afghanistan where we have this massive military footprint.
Nir, I wanted to ask you about the potential for a negotiated settlement here. President Obama has said on more than one occasion that this conflict in Afghanistan demands a political and not a military solution. There have been reports over the recent months that some negotiations with the Taliban initiated by Afghan President Karzai had taken place. But where do you think things are headed in terms of any kind of positive result with negotiations with the Taliban?
It is true that this is a political conflict, and the only solution for it will be a political settlement. And the Taliban are an important Afghan movement, whether you like them or not. And it's also true that Obama has admitted that a political settlement is necessary. And even General McChrystal, in his assessment of last year, admitted that the majority of the causes of the problems in Afghanistan are political, economic, and non-military. And yet we see Obama and we see his generals relying only on the military as a solution and using more and more force, more and more violence, more and more troops. So even though they admit the problems are non-military, the solution to them appears to be military. There have been really no negotiations to date. Petraeus came in and basically killed the idea of negotiations and even put some key figures on a blacklist. Instead, they're focusing on killing and capturing Taliban. The American notion is that the Taliban are now in a position of strength, and we want to put them on their backs and punish them and weaken them and then negotiate with them. So we're killing the very people that we're trying to negotiate with. But an additional problem is, by killing the more established, older Taliban who are part of the communities, these guys are being replaced very rapidly by younger guys who have less ties to the community, who are much more radical and extreme, and who are more like Al-Qaeda in their ideology. So we're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy of a more extreme Taliban that is against the notion of negotiating with us and has more ties to Al-Qaeda, which seems like an insane thing to do.
Neil Rosen, there are many people who take a look at the option of pulling out of Afghanistan and think that, while it would certainly save American forces from the expenditure of blood and treasure at home, that in the long run it might not be the best option, because they feel into that vacuum would come more radical forces from all over the world and it would once again become a safe haven. How do you respond to the notion that if we just walk away from Afghanistan, things could get a lot worse and a new and developing danger would take root there?
I don't think it's true. I think just as we learned from September 11, so too did Al-Qaeda. And it's true. At the time of 9/11, you had kind of an Al-Qaeda army. You had an army of a couple of thousand, I think, Arabs who were fighting alongside the Taliban in the Afghan Civil War. And they also had training camps where some foreigners could come and get training. But all that infrastructure was destroyed by the Americans quite brutally and quickly and easily after 9/11. And many of those guys were arrested or killed. So I think Al-Qaeda has learned that the age of having sort of a geographic safe haven on any particular territory with bases, that's all over, because the Americans, there's one thing that we've done since 9/11, is show that we're going to kill people no matter where they are, no matter whether they're innocent or guilty, no matter whether it's legal or illegal. So the notion that Al-Qaeda would still want to have this these open training camps where American B-52s could just wipe them out and destroy the whole valley, I think that they too realize that that's over. And instead, Al-Qaeda's become something else. It's not an army anymore. It's a movement. It's an idea. It's an inspiration, something that anybody who opposes American imperialism these days, even if he's not Muslim.
That was Nir Rosen, author, journalist, and a fellow at New York University's Center on Law and Security. His latest book is titled Aftermath, Following the Bloodshed of America's Wars in the Muslim World. Read his articles online at nirrosen.com.